Today is All Souls Day, also called the commemoration of all the faithful departed. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all indeed rise, but we shall not be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must be put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But when this mortal body puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the word that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 5, verses 25 to 29. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself. And he has granted him power to render judgment, because he is Son of Man. Do not wonder at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they who have done good shall come forth unto resurrection of life, but they who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have many points of doctrine on this All Souls Day to explain to you, but just briefly, this epistle and gospel. Our bodies, as we have been teaching the adults in the catechism class, but all, as all of you have heard in instructions from this pulpit and from reading your Baltimore Catechism, we as humans are composed of body and soul. And our bodies, at the time of death, will cease to live because our immortal souls will depart from the body. And so the body will undergo corruption. But our souls still live. And by the power of God, at the last judgment, all the souls of every person who has ever lived will be brought before him, all the billions of people since Adam and Eve. And because of what St. Paul says to the Corinthians, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, that victory, of course, is his death on the cross. He was victorious over death and sin by undergoing death and by making up for our sufferings, making up for our sins, replacing us, so that we have, if we're faithful, we can be victorious with him. And so that is why in this Gospel of St. John, it recalls or mentions to the people of our Lord's time that the hour will come when the Son of Man will come, the Son of God, creator of heaven and earth. And it says, we just read it, "For the hour is coming which all who are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God." And also, all the souls at the end of time that are in purgatory and all the saints, the souls of the saints in heaven, will all hear that voice of Jesus Christ and will all come to be assembled before God. God, the Holy Trinity, but especially our Lord. In the last sentence, "And they who have done good shall come forth unto resurrection of life." So if we've done good, we die in a state of grace, we will rise from the dead, imitating what our Lord did on Easter Sunday, rising from the dead unto life. "But they who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment." Do you ever hear that from anybody? Any clergy, modernist Catholic clergy, so-called Catholic, Protestants? "They who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment," meaning they will rise and be judged and be sent to hell, because purgatory will no longer exist. Now, we have spoken on this All Souls Day in the past, but just as a reminder that praying for the dead, the departed souls, is a human practice. It's not just Catholic. The pagans did it. Those who were enemies of the Hebrews, of the chosen people, they prayed for the dead. The Hebrews themselves prayed for the dead. It's in our human psyche to pray for those who have died. And so, just as you should be reminded, the dogma of purgatory, it's really two parts. First, there is in the next world a temporary place for a soul if he is guilty of venial sin, not atoned for, or for temporal punishment due to sins already forgiven. So if you were here at the High Mass, you heard Father Ward explain some of these points about purgatory, about All Souls Day. But two things happen when we disobey God, when we commit a sin. We're guilty, first of all, and then we have to be punished. That's another thing every human being knows. And by the sacraments, especially the sacrament of penance, the guilty person is absolved. Except there's one catch. They have to be sorry. They have to be sorry for what they've done. They have to have contrition. And the other thing, the guilt being taken away by sacrament of penance, for example, but it doesn't take away the punishment. Maybe it takes away part of it. If someone goes to that confessional and confesses a mortal sin sincerely, their guilt is removed completely. Only by the sacrament of penance can guilt from mortal sin be taken away, or the desire to receive that sacrament. But does all the punishment get removed? Possibly, but maybe their person's contrition, their sorrow isn't what it should be, so there may be some remaining punishment. Maybe the person has venial sins that they're not confessing, or they forget, or they are indifferent to. So a life led like this may be somewhat devout, but at the time the person dies, they have sanctifying grace, but they have not been punished for all their sins the way they should be. So that is what purgatory is for. So the person can enter heaven as a perfect soul, ready to face his or her maker. The second part of the dogma of purgatory, meaning if a Catholic denies existence of purgatory, they are not Catholic. If they ignore it or pretend it doesn't exist, as the modernists do, they ignore this day. Then they're in danger of losing their souls. But the second part of the dogma of purgatory is that the faithful, that means all of us here on earth, who are Catholic, that's what it means, those who follow the faith, who are full of faith, the Catholic faith, by prayers and good works, especially the holy sacrifice of the Mass, can assist the suffering souls in purgatory. Purgatory is a place of mercy from God. God created it to purify the soul so that he is able to be in God's presence and in the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the angels and saints. And now you know why the confiteor has those invocations that we confess our sins not only to God, but to the Blessed Mother, St. Michael the Archangel, Saints Peter and Paul, and all the saints, angels and saints. We apologize to them. We say we're sorry. Now we belong to what's called the mystical body of Christ. That means, as you know, God is our head. He's the head of the body. And there are parts to that body. Sometimes the Blessed Virgin Mary is called the neck, or some writers call her the heart of the body of Christ in a spiritual, figurative way. The Holy Ghost is sometimes called the soul of the mystical body of Christ. But the mystical body of Christ includes the souls in heaven who are saved, the faithful on earth, true Catholics, and then the souls in purgatory, the faithful departed. Not any departed, not anybody who dies, but those who died faithful, or at least who desired to be faithful. Maybe at the last moments they received the baptism of desire. They wanted to follow God. They wanted to be Catholic. And they weren't baptized, or they were refused baptism, as happens in Novus Ordo parishes. People are put off. Well, with this mystical body, we can help each other, and that is our duty as the faithful on earth, to pray for the souls in purgatory, to have masses offered, and to come tonight. This is the number one day to help the souls in purgatory. And don't forget to pray for all those thousands of names on the altar. Now you see that large stack of envelopes. You see that? It seems to get taller every day. Do you know behind that stack of envelopes is another stack just as high? It's more every year. From all over the world who send the names and their offering, if they are able to do it, to us and the sisters, to have these people remembered for the whole month of November. That's why we say, make sure you get your names and your envelope returned to us before the morning mass on All Souls Day. Now we receive our mail in the afternoon, and today one of the brothers went to get the mail from the mailbox, and there was an envelope from one of you who come to Mass here, a family. And they weren't able to get here, so they mailed their intention with their names and their offering. And the envelope was ripped open. The donation was stolen. And the names were lost. Now, who would steal money from a church? Well, they're bad people. So what did Father say? He said, you contact that family right now and have them text all the names to us. And we'll make sure those names are on the altar for the Mass tonight, because they're not going to be forgotten. That's what one of the brothers did. Some people say, oh, well, that, boy, that's really heroic. No, we will do anything to help people save their souls or to pray for the souls in purgatory. And you will do the same. We are just doing our duty. That's not something to be congratulated for. It's a privilege to do this, to help our neighbors, especially in the fires of purgatory, if they are there. Now, the Protestants, they deny purgatory. So do the old Catholics. So do the Orthodox. The Bible says, from the book of Maccabees, second book of Maccabees, because under Judas Maccabeus, this is maybe 150, 200 years before Christ, these heroic men were restoring the altars of sacrifice of the Hebrews that had been destroyed by the enemies of God. So they were fierce warriors. And it goes here like this in chapter 12, verse 39. So they had a battle, and it says, and the day following, Judas Maccabeus came with his company, his fellow soldiers, to take away the bodies of them that were slain and to bury them with their kinsmen in the sepulchres of their fathers. So the fallen soldiers, they wanted to give proper burial to the soldiers who had fought valiantly for Christ or for God. And they found under their coats of the slain some of the donaries of the idols of Jamnia, which the law forbiddeth to the Jews, so that they all plainly saw for this cause they were slain. These were tokens, these were little trinkets that had value, and some of the soldiers who were defending God, they took these offerings, these gold and precious metals, and they disobey God's law, and they hid them under their cloak. And when their leader, Judas Maccabeus, saw it, and the other men, they said, this is why they were slain. They were killed because they disobeyed God. they were attached to material things, especially offerings to idols. Then they all blessed the just judgment of the Lord who had discovered the things that were hidden. And so, betaking themselves to prayers, they besought him that the sin which had been committed might be forgotten. But the most valiant Judas exhorted the people to keep themselves from sin, for as much as they saw before their eyes what had happened because of the sins of those that were slain. In making a gathering, he sent 12,000 drachmas of silver to Jerusalem for the sacrifice to be offered for the sins of the dead, thinking well and religiously concerning the resurrection. For if he had not hoped that they who were slain seemed superfluous and vain to pray for the dead, and because he considered that they who had fallen asleep in, with godliness had great grace laid up for them, it is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. That's right in the Bible. So you may ask any Lutheran or evangelical, wait, it's in the Bible. You deny all sacred tradition. It's in the Bible, so why don't you believe it? Oh, in the 1500s, we took that book out of the Bible. Oh, okay. So if you don't want to believe something, you just arbitrarily remove it from the Bible, and that's what the Lutherans and the Protestants do. Do you see how demonic that is? So it should make us always have reverence for the scripture. And even in the Sermon on the Mount, I know you heard, some of you were here yesterday, you heard Father Simon speak about the beautiful Sermon on the Mount of our Lord. Here's what Jesus said to the people as part of that sermon. This is the first great sermon our Lord gave. He says, therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Come to terms with thy opponent quickly while thou art with him on the way, lest thy opponent deliver thee to the judge and the judge to the officer and to be cast into prison. Amen, I say to thee, thou wilt not come out from it until thou hast paid the last penny. That is another reference to purgatory. These are the faithful who believe in Jesus Christ, but we have to pay our debts. These souls are in the prison of purgatory. So that's why we are here, to promote the dogma and to encourage all of you and everyone online to pray for the souls in purgatory. St. Augustine wrote sermons on the care to be done for the dead. And it's in the divine office that the priests and the religious read today. And he says, remembrance and prayers for the dead are signs of true affection when they are offered for the departed ones by the faithful most dear to them. There can be no doubt but that these prayers help after life those souls who, while alive, merited them. Should some emergency prevent the bodies of the dead from being buried at all, should lack of facilities hinder them from the resting in a holy place, prayers for the souls of these dead should not be neglected. The Church has taken upon herself as an obligation prayers for the dead, for all the dead who have died in the Christian and Catholic fellowship, mentioning them not by name, but under a general commemoration. Those who lack parents, sons, kindred, or friends have the benefits of these offices provided for them by the one Holy Mother common to us all. So you see, that's why at every Mass offered throughout the year, there's always the commemoration or the remembrance for the dead after the consecration. The priest mentions any names he wants to mention. And for many years now, we mention all the names of the souls of faithfully departed who are on the altar and have been on the altar since 1973. Now, why do I say that? That's because that's when Father Ward, that year, he was ordained, and he started that tradition for this community. So the priests pray here for all the souls in purgatory, but we add for all the names, countless thousands of names who've been on the altars here from 73 up to tonight. That's 50 years. We're going to take a few moments to tell you about extreme unction. It is a sacrament instituted by Christ whereby perfect spiritual health and comfort of the soul and the restoration of bodily health, if it be expedient to salvation, are granted to those in danger of death from sickness or old age by means of the sacred anointings accompanied with the prescribed form of words. The Council of Trent enumerates the effects of the sacrament as expiation of sin, extinction of the remains of sin, comfort and strength of the sick, confidence in the divine mercy, whereby sickness is more easily endured and temptations resisted, and finally, the receiving of bodily health, if expedient to salvation. Now, why do we speak about this sacrament that's given to those in danger of death? Because, remember, our faith, even though it's divided up into all the different doctrines, and you look at your catechism, Baltimore Catechism, 37 lessons, over 500 questions and answers, but it's all geared for two things: worshiping the true God, the Holy Trinity, and our salvation, to be one with the Holy Trinity. Now, late last night, we received a text from one of the people that come to Mass here. And a relative of this person was in serious health from a condition, as being rushed to the hospital. And then today they were taken to the hospital. And right before the High Mass, I texted back and I said, keep us informed, we'll be in touch. So right after the High Mass, I told Father Ward about the condition and the whole situation for this person. And he said, it is now time for the person to receive extreme unction. So when the priest went out today and gave that person extreme unction, the last word we heard is, person's doing much better. The reason we tell you this is because the benefits of this sacrament are connected directly with this day, All Souls Day. Because when you look at the big picture, and quoting Father Ward from a sermon decades ago, we're not supposed to go to purgatory. Our home is in heaven. Purgatory is a, you can say, a prison, a merciful prison to be purified. But that's not our goal, to just get to purgatory. So that's why this beautiful sacrament of extreme unction can take away the effects of sin. Earlier this year, one of the men who passed away, who was coming to this chapel for decades, his name is on that necrology list in the back of the chapel. We got the call from his wife, and so he went immediately to the hospital. And you may have forgotten, but we said this right after he passed away. He had been unconscious and with all sorts of issues, health issues, but he had been unconscious. But when we went into his room, he was wide awake and knew who we were. We received the emergency form of extreme unction, which is one anointing of the olea infirmorum, the oil of the sick, on his forehead. He first went to confession. He wasn't able to receive viaticum because of his condition we can't go into those details. But we tell you that is because he, with all his imperfections, as we all have, was faithful to the end. And you know what? Do you know why the priest was able to go there? And do you know why just a few years ago, one of the men that had come to Mass here maybe a few times, once or twice a year, decades ago, but when he got COVID, he asked for the priest. The priest came, anointed him, gave him viaticum, and he died on Christmas Day, just a few years ago. In these two examples, do you know why that it happened that way? Because their family was praying for them and having masses offered every day, every week, every so often, these masses, just countless masses, and praying for them. And the prayers continue because we don't know if they went to heaven. So that's why you have prayers and masses offered for the living and the dead. I was, just before we came over, about a half hour before this Mass, we were saying our night prayers, and as you know, instructed from our Father Superior, and you know this, when you do your prayers, you do spiritual reading. So I was opening the book, and I had a bookmark of the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague. Turned it over. It's a funeral card. And it turned out to be my father's funeral card. Passed away on Good Friday, April 22nd, 2011. O gentlest heart of Jesus, ever present in the Blessed Sacrament, ever consumed with burning love for the poor captive souls in purgatory, have mercy on the soul of thy departed servant. Be not severe in thy judgment, but let some drops of thy precious blood fall upon the devouring flames. And do thou, O merciful Savior, send thy angels to conduct thy departed servant to a place of refreshment, light, and peace. May the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And God bless you.